bagger.
This is bagger as well. It's like a checkered purple and pink bag that I really love. I just want every single bagger. I want to collect them all.
There was a point in my life where I imagined that maybe I would never come back to Sydney. I just thought maybe life or a relationship or whatever, maybe it will take. I was open to anything kind of thing. I was like,
welcome to the Asian Soup Podcast. This is your co-host Jules.
And this is your co-host Rox.
The Asian Soup Podcast is your cozy space on the internet where we share and discover stories about one another.
We chat about a range of topics from career, personal growth, relationships, and much more.
Come sit with us
and get nourished. So we haven't seen each other in a few weeks. Are you okay? I know you were sick lately, but yeah, how are you feeling?
I was sick. I was sick for like 2 weeks. I had some virus. And then like before that, I had like these crazy migraines. And then before that, I had like stomach issues. So like I've had a pretty rough month, I think. But I'm feeling healthy now and I want to prioritize my health. And I'm feeling much better.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like after you've been sick, and then you're finally good and then you realize what it feels like to be healthy again and you just feel really grateful.
Yeah, you're like, thank God.
Yeah, yeah. That is me right now.
And just being normal is, well, healthy is, you take it for granted and you're like, oh, this is good.
Yeah, yeah. What about you? How have you been?
I've been good. I haven't been sick, which is good. But yeah, just chugging along, nothing that new lately because the seasons are changing. It's getting a bit cold in Sydney. I've been having some cravings. So when it gets cold, I have like cravings. I'm like, oh, I'm so excited to like do hot pot soon. Like your Ryudo should come over once sometime and we should do hot pot again.
Yes.
I want to do like K-barbecue more, but I want to eat like, I just have all these food things that I want to eat when it's cold. And
can I just butt in here?
Yeah.
So today we're talking about, just a bit of context. Yeah. We're talking about like, Rox, what should we talk about today? And Rox just wanted to talk about food.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I want to talk about all my cravings. So that's where we're going here. So yeah, tell me, what have you been craving?
Well, I feel like I always crave. Like I just love, everyone loves eating, right? Like everyone loves eating, but I don't know. I've just been watching like people eating on YouTube, like mukbang videos, but I know I could like go to a restaurant and satisfy that craving, but I'm like, you know, I want to like wait for a good day for it. Or like, I feel like I can't just because I crave something doesn't mean I have to go and get it straight away. Does that make sense? Or else like say like, I also have a craving for I'm so weird. Soy marinated crab, like Korean soy marinated crab. But that's like a special meal. You can't just always have that, I feel.
Yeah.
And I haven't found a place in Sydney. I know you said I can get it at that Korean mart.
Just up there, yeah.
I'm trying to eat healthy too, like more healthy in my day-to-day at home. So, yeah, it's like, you know, there's all these foods that I'd love to eat, but then they're for like a special occasion or like when I actually plan to go somewhere. Does that make sense?
100% know what
like,
you're saying.
Obviously, right now. I always want to eat everything, but I can't just eat like a king every day.
Do you think it's because like our food, all the food is so accessible, like through Uber Eats, for example? If you have a craving, you can satisfy it straight away using an app, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But now what it sounds like is like you don't want that instant gratification. You kind of want to delay it a little bit. So it's like even
if
you
want it more.
Yeah, so you're craving it, but you're like, actually, you know what? I'm going to savor it.
Yeah.
You're like building the craving.
Yeah, so when I actually eat it, it's going to be like, whoa, like that was worth the wait, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I totally know that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because sometimes when you kind of crave something and you get it, you rush and get it. Like, I don't know, like fried chicken or something or like a burger or something and you get it and you're like, that wasn't that good. You know, like, or it wasn't as good as you thought. And then you're like, why did I try to satisfy my craving straight away? And it wasn't like the best way to satisfy it.
Yeah.
You know, it was like a quick way or like, oh, you know, you know?
Yeah, you kind of have to like...
You kind of half-ass the craving sometimes because yeah. it's easy.
Yeah.
And then you're like, actually, that was not worth my craving. Mm. It didn't satisfy my craving and now I have to wait even longer and hopefully my next burger trip to wherever I'm going is actually going to be worth it. Do you know what I mean? I don't know. It's just a weird mind thing.
So does that mean like lately you've been craving things but then you'll just sort of hold it off?
Yeah, like I just don't want to spoil myself. Mm. Yeah, I'm kind of like that with shopping as well.
Oh, yeah.
Because like say I'll go window shopping and I will want something or I could get it, but then maybe that day I already got a t-shirt or I already got something else or I don't need that just yet. I already got something the other day or I already have something similar. Like I'll just not give in to it because I don't need it. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I just stop myself from getting it.
Somewhere. Yeah. Yeah. No, I totally get that. Cause like lately I've been thinking a lot about dopamine and I was being really into listening to Andrew Huberman's like podcast and he does like heaps of stuff about dopamine. And basically he says like dopamine, people confuse that it's dopamine is like that sort of hit that you get, that sort of blissful feeling that you get, like for example, when you're eating something really, really delicious.
Yeah.
But his definition of dopamine is actually like the pursuit of getting that thing that you want.
Mm.
And I feel like that's almost what you're doing. You're like stretching it out. Yeah, yeah. You want to chase it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that's motivation. Yeah. And that's like the best part actually, not so much I mean, of course it's so joyful eating it and, you know, indulging, but it's like you're kind of like spreading it out.
Spreading it out, yeah.
Because if you eat, for example, marinated soy crab every day.
You can't. It won't be special anymore. It's just
won't taste good anymore.
You get sick of it.
You get sick of it.
Yeah. I can't eat the same exact thing like that.
I'm so sick of this like chicken curry I've been making. Like I have this really bad – I'm the opposite actually. I have this like – really bad habit. If I really like something,
you eat until you.
No, I will make it like 6 times in a row.
Right.
So I was like really into this chicken and turmeric soup that my friend Frida recommended to me, and I made it like 6 times in a row.
Yeah, and now you're sick.
Now
of it.
I don't even want to. I can't have. I'm so over it now.
Okay.
And then I got really into this like chicken curry recipe that my colleague introduced to me. I made it like 6 times. Six times in a row and I'm like so over it now. And I made a new soup that we're going to try later.
Okay, I'm excited.
Which is yukgaejang. But when I was making that today, I was like, okay, when am I going to make it next? I need to make it maybe like 2 months later because I'm going to get sick of it as well.
Yeah, I love it. It's kind of like these things go in rotation, right? And you put it in the back for a bit and you're like, actually, I feel like it again.
Yeah.
You know, because you've had enough of it and then you're done and then wait for the next time.
And I think that's why it's so good living in a city or country that has different seasons because the seasons, every time we enter a new season, we unlock a new level, like new batch of cravings, you know, craving all these like certain foods, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, in summer you crave like fresh, you know, herbs and like, I don't know, like a vermicelli salad and that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
in
exactly.
Autumn,
yeah,
you want
like
hot pot.
Hot pot, you know, warmer stuff. Yeah.
So that's curries. What I love about like the seasons.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely the colder weather is making me crave things as well, like the soups. But yeah, it's so interesting that you say you've been like staggering
it. I think it's just like I know people have different relationships with food, which is like a totally different topic we can talk about another day.
That's a great topic.
That's a huge topic.
Yeah.
It's not like I put these, no, you cannot eat that. It's not like that. It's
like
more like
rules.
Yeah. It's more like I just want it to be special. Mm. And even like coffee, I used to have like three cups of coffee a day.
Three?
Yeah. I used to have more coffee a day, but now I just have one in the morning. And then the rest of the day it might be like water, tea, and that's it.
Mm.
But I know I could easily have another one at like 2 or 3 after lunch. Like that's the best kind of like your second coffee of the day. It's like,
yeah.
So
it's like self-regulation.
Yeah, self-control. It's hard. you could also just have five coffees if you want. No one's looking at me. No one's telling me to have less coffees or anything. It's, I could have more snacks if I wanted to.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't matter. But then, yeah, it's still up to you. Like, you kind of have to just figure out what's good for you.
Yeah.
I think what makes you happy and what satisfies you enough and what's overindulging and what's, you know, you deserve a little treat, you know, you know. So it's just different for everyone.
Yeah. I think because when we're younger, we just want to do what tastes good, what feels good, what's fun. Mm-hmm. We don't really think about the consequences.
Yeah.
But I think now we're kind of like, actually, what's good for us in the long term? I think we're thinking a little bit more long term. It's like, we know now if we have five coffees, you might not be able to sleep as well. Yeah. Or if you have like 10 chocolates today.
Yeah. We're not in our 20s anymore. So
yeah.
I can't be forever
skinny. We're wiser.
Yeah. Okay.
Things that you're obsessed with lately. I want to know, is there anything?
You share yours first.
Okay,
let me share. Because I was sharing my cravings, so you share.
So my current obsession at the moment is bagu. I'm freaking obsessed with bagu. Honestly, like, I thought it was kind of cute and then I saw my friend carrying it and I was like, oh my God, I need that in my life. Okay, I need to bring it. Should I bring it?
Yeah, show it.
So bagu is like... What do you call this? Like reusable shopping bags?
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know what it is. Like, okay, that's the standard bagu. Okay. So
it's that's the OG bagu or standard bagu.
Standard size. So it's quite big. You can fit a lot.
It's a shopping bag. You can roll it up.
You fold it into this pouch.
Yeah.
Which is like so satisfying. And this one's like a lilac color with like lemons over it. And they just have the cutest prints. I also got a new work bag.
Is it also bagu?
This is bagu as well. It's like a checkered purple and pink bag that I really love.
With a zipper.
And I also got this bagu laptop case.
What?
It's like a puffy.
Oh, that is really cute.
That I am obsessed with. Ryder was saying like the material is like non-rip or something. So like it's got these like what do you call it? Like strings going through.
Oh, the weave. Oh,
the weave. Yeah.
Okay.
So that is my current obsession right now. I just want every single bagu. I want to collect them all. I've got like a strawberry one as well.
Wow, bagu has got you.
I can't stop thinking about it. I want more. Every time I carry a bagu and every time I put groceries in it, it's like this joy in my heart.
Like you're like, I'm glad I got my bagu.
Oh, yeah. I love it. And then secondly, my second obsession that I would love to share is, have I talked about on the podcast
yet? You haven't. You should talk about it. I know what you're talking about. Rox
already knows.
Rox knows what. They need to know.
I haven't even said it, but yeah, basically I did like a color matching thing, personal color.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a proper one. We just like used this service called, what's it called again? Kokonara, which is like a Japanese website. And we sent a photo, me and my friend, we sent a photo of us to the personal colorist and then she recommends like a color palette for us. And I got recommended a color palette called Summer Light. You can give it a quick Google or Light Summer. And basically it's like cool pastel colors. So if you haven't noticed, if you're watching the video and if you're listening to the audio version, check out the video. I'm really colorful right now. I've got this like very cool colored, what color, what is this color? Green.
Like a lime green, but not fluoro, but like, you know.
It's pretty bright.
Good bright green.
Very bright.
Yeah.
And then this is
What is that? Champion?
It's a champion. Mm. And then I'm wearing like a, what is this? Blue, but it's like a cool pastel blue.
Yeah. Like and a darker baby blue.
Darker baby blue.
Yeah.
And she said that this is my color. Like this, if out of all the colors, this is my color.
The blue.
This sort of cool tone blue pastel. And yeah, I've just been like really enjoying wearing more color. Like normally I'm very monotone.
Yeah.
And I feel like if I go back and watch all of the podcast episodes, I feel like I've become more and more colorful.
Yeah, yeah. Like Jules used to be more like grey, white, cream, black, like minimal stripes. But then ever since this colour thing and we had gone to dinner, I'm like, you look good. Like you look bright and like good energy, you know? And she told me that she did this colour matching thing. I'm like, it's working on you, girl. Because she had like yellow or blue. You had this blue nail polish that time, I remember. And you had like a pastel yellow top or dress or something. And I'm like, this is really, really working for you.
Yeah.
It gives out a different aura.
Yeah. You know? And I've been really enjoying wearing more color.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's something that it's just been really fun and really nice. And
I'd love to know what color I suit, but I think in general, I also try to wear more color, but then sometimes I wear a lot of black. So I don't know, just depends.
If you could pick one color that you think suits you, what color do you reckon?
I think it suits me, but I don't know. Well, I hope I know, but I do love like a khaki green or like just greens. I like wearing green.
I think you look good in like beige tones as well.
Yeah, like beigey, green, brown.
You might be like autumn.
I love tan. I think tan colors, tan or kind of cream colors are nice.
Yeah.
Browns. Yeah, I like browns too.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like maybe you're autumn.
Yeah, maybe.
But then sometimes like you have a color palette sometimes that
I
you
have
like.
A really bright. Sometimes I go really bright, yeah.
Yeah, like you have a color palette that you like and then you do the colorist like matching, right?
Yeah.
And then they pick something completely random. Like imagine if she said like pastels.
I also love pastels.
Oh, you love pastels.
Actually, yeah, I like a lot of colors.
Oh, that's good.
I probably don't like as much as like red or like I don't think I could ever wear like a red dress or like red lipstick. Like I'm not a red person, you know?
Yeah, but that could be
I don't know. I don't know.
Anyway, what are you obsessed with lately other than your cravings?
I'm not really obsessed. Okay, oh, what have I been obsessed? Okay, maybe I'm late to the game. I'm always late to these shows, but I've been obsessed with Succession, but I haven't finished watching it. I've only finished watching season 2 and season 4 is out. Everyone's watched the season finale, like, but I'm still only halfway. So, but I want to take it slow and enjoy it because it's going to be over.
Mm.
Anyways, just stuff like that. I don't
even know what Succession is.
It's like a TV drama, but it's I don't know if I can say this, but it is an all white cast and it's based on like Rupert Murdoch and a media family. Ooh. And it's just very it's like drama, there's a little bit of comedy, there's a lot of dialogue, it's just really funny. And I just think the actors do a really good job. I'm just sucked into it right now, but I just started season 3 today. Yeah, I'm just really slow, but yeah, I've been kind of obsessed with that because when I'm obsessed with a show or a movie, I'll go watch like the interviews of the people or I'll go search who, you know, who they played before or what their thoughts are. Like, yeah, I just like watching the behind the acting kind of things.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of me right now, but with Beef. Have you seen Beef?
I watched one episode only. It was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really liked it. I think I want to rewatch it. And I've been
Have you watched the whole thing?
I freaking binged the whole thing.
You binged that? Wow.
Yeah.
Well.
Because I was just like, where is this going?
Yeah.
Like,
I'm expecting it will get weird, but I'm only on episode 1.
Okay.
And I've heard good things about it. So it's pretty good.
Yeah.
But while watching it, I was like, isn't it weird? Well, actually, this was Sim saying it, but he was like, isn't it weird watching an all mostly Asian cast speaking English in a show, because usually it's either like like Chinese or Cantonese, but now it's, you know, Hollywood.
Yeah, I actually didn't even think that. Yeah. I feel like that was how I felt with like maybe Pachinko.
Yeah, but they spoke some Korean in Pachinko. Yeah, like they went back and forth or and like, Japanese.
Crazy Rich Asians.
Not true. But this is Pachinko was a show though.
That's I guess like
a series. So yeah, this is another series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess Beef is like probably the first. Oh wait, what about
Fresh Off the Boat?
Kim's Convenience. I love
Kim's Convenience. I love Kim's Convenience. True, true. That was good. Yeah. There's been others.
Mm-mm.
For sure.
Yeah. But yeah, Beef was really, really good.
It shot pretty well, and I really like Steven Yeun as well.
So. I know, me too. Really like him.
We're back.
So my grandma, she's 93 years old. And she's in hospital at the moment. Yeah, I don't know. It's just like I've been having some reflections and, you know, my partner's grandpa recently passed away this week. He's been really unwell and I don't know. Like I've just been thinking a lot about grandparents lately and how I felt very lucky and grateful that my grandma lives in Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
Like she's close by because I feel like it's so much harder when your family members, like your parents or your grandparents, on the other side of the world, because that stuff gets expensive and you got to sort of drop everything and like fly over to the other side of the world.
Yeah.
So yeah, lately I've just been sort of thinking how nice it is to have family like nearby. Like I remember you said that once, like you came back to Sydney because you wanted to be closer to family.
For the family, yeah.
And I was kind of like, oh, but we're, you know, I didn't really understand that. I just thought, wow, Rox is so wise. Like maybe it's because you're the older sister, but I'm sort of kind of understanding it more now. Like it is really nice, like to be there for your older family members when they're, you know, either in their like final years or I don't know, just being close by
and like just the support and just knowing that if anything happens you can always drive over if something happens and or if anyone needs to go to hospital or even if I need to go to the hospital they're around. It's kind of it's sad though to think about it like that.
For you when you were in Hong Kong like was and you came so Rock was in Hong Kong for a few years and then it was really like family was the biggest motivator for you to come back.
Yeah.
How was it like making realizing, that decision? Yeah. That realization part, like what happened for you to like come to that conclusion to pack your bags and come back to Australia?
You know, at the beginning of my time in Hong Kong, there was a point in my life where I imagined that maybe I would never come back to Sydney. I just thought maybe life or a relationship or whatever, maybe it will take, I was open to anything kind of thing. I was like open to, you know, new possibilities. And I was just thinking, you know, I don't need to go back to Sydney. You know, I'm starting a new life here. Maybe one day I'll end up in America. Maybe one day I'll end up in like UK, who knows? Like it can, I'm open basically or stay in Hong Kong for ages. I didn't like think about I have to go back.
Yeah.
I kind of thought, oh, my brother's there anyway. But there was a point where I was seriously considering like my future and imagining myself not ever going back to Sydney. Just imagining it and I think it's part of just being I don't know, an older sister or I don't know, just being myself or something, just a huge guilty feeling.
Guilt.
A huge guilty feeling, like a huge guilty feeling, like I knew my dad was happy for me even if I didn't end up coming back to Sydney. And he would be like, you know, Hong Kong's still really close. Or, you know, we can always visit or something like that. But then I felt like I think I was caring about the wrong things. And I just tried to think about him. Like I tried to put myself in his shoes. And
your
I'm like,
dad's shoes.
In my dad's shoes. And I was like just looking back at myself. And because I know that he just wants me to be happy like that. My dad would just say that. But I know it's very heartbreaking for a parent to not be near your child, right? Or or not know where they are and what they're doing overseas. And then I just felt like such an asshole. Like I can't even describe it properly, but the feeling was like, I can't believe I was so selfish to think that, you know, like my parents like raised me and gave me everything, and for me to just drop it all and start a life somewhere else and just leave them. That I don't know. There was like it was very emotional. It was like an emotional time for me at some point, like middle, maybe like, I don't know. It was just because I really had to consider, could I live my life not in Sydney and start a new life somewhere else? And I just, it was really sad to think that. And I knew my mom's health, my mom's mobility isn't great as well. And I felt like it just sucks. Like I just felt really sad if I had to make that choice. And I think from that point, I think I was like 29 at the time and like almost turning 30 as well. So maybe these thoughts came about, but yeah, because I would kind of talk like, oh, what if I don't come back? Or what if I do this and that? And they're like, you know, it's okay. You know, there's just flights and stuff. But then even just thinking of them saying that, I was like, oh, what a dick I was. I that's just me talking to myself. Like, obviously everyone can do whatever they want. It's just, I think, although, you know, things aren't perfect and whatnot, and even though I'm here, it's not like I'm helping out a lot.
I think you are helping out a lot.
Thank you. But that night, I remember that one moment, I was just like crying. I kind of like broke down because I realized how far away from my parents I was. And this was before COVID. Like, yeah, this was before COVID. So then from then on, I kind of felt like I actually want to go back. Like one day, I want to like make my way back. I want to be closer to them. I want to help out more. And
that time sounds like you would have felt a lot of sadness.
Yeah, I was just a really weird time in my life where I was seriously considering the reality of not coming back for some reason. I just thought, that's life. Like if I take this path, should I consider not ever going back to Sydney? How about you? Sorry, that went on for a while.
No, that was really insightful. I don't know. Going back to what you were saying, it's almost like you were so busy living your life in Hong Kong, enjoying your life, and it's almost like one moment you decided to like face it. Do you feel like that? You're kind of like avoiding it, and then one day you're like, okay, I'm going to like sort of sit here and think about it.
Yeah, it was kind of like,
like this overwhelming.
It was just overwhelming.
Very overwhelming.
I suddenly realized one night, like, what am I doing here? Like I'm so far away. I'm not that happy. I have my relatives and I have my new friends, but I know deep down that my dad wants me close by. Any parent would, right? Like generally he's just being nice to say that. Yeah.
I think like we always have that feeling as Asian kids that we want to not please our parents, but take care of them.
Take care of them. Yeah.
And those feelings get stronger as we get older.
Totally. And then COVID happened. So COVID just like solidified it for me, really. It was like, okay, I got to come back.
Yeah, the more like we chat, the more I realize like family is really important. It's a big theme for both of us.
Yeah. Because, our parents are getting older.
Thanks for sharing that. I feel like a lot of people who are like listening to this episode, especially the people who are physically far away from their parents, like I think they would feel what you're feeling. Like
it's and I think it would really be fine if I did choose that path too. Like I'm glad I didn't, but hypothetically, if you know people might meet someone and they're from a different country, like say if you know, I was in Hong Kong and I met someone and they were from London and, you know, we had to choose between moving to the UK versus back to Australia. And that happens all the time. You know, I have so many friends that have parents from the different parts, from different countries, right? Yeah. That is like the hardest thing, I feel, because why would someone have that's also a thing that would ruin relationship maybe as well. It's like why
friction for sure.
Yeah, friction. It's like one person saying, oh, I would never move to Australia, right? But then one person being like, okay, but if I move to the UK, then I'm giving up. I'm saying no to my family.
Mm.
Then what about my family, right? And then you – basically that's kind of what happened, and I was just going around in circles and then about it.
So when I went to Korea like last year in November,
yeah,
two of my girl cousins
mm-hmm.
who have parents in Korea but they live in Canada or America, they both became flight attendants because that the being a flight attendant sort of breaks down that geographical problem. Because, you know, if you can fly back and forth frequently, then it's actually no problem. It's easy, feels really, they actually feel really close by.
Yeah.
My cousin would meet her mum and dad like basically every week, even if she has three kids. She lives in America.
Yeah.
And because I met her in Korea and she's like, oh,
I'll be back.
I'm flying. Yeah, I'm back next Tuesday.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah. So being a flight attendant, I was like, shit, that's a really good job for people who have
family all around.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really smart.
Yeah. And they both love their job, especially because they're like, oh, I don't work for the Korean Airlines. They work for the American or Canadian Airlines.
Yeah.
And
better benefits.
Way better benefits. And you don't have to be like, oh, the Korean Airlines, they're very, very strict and you have to be a certain height and all this stuff. Yeah. So
that is like the perfect situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you can fly around a lot and if it's close-ish, because at least Korea and America is like 8 hours, right?
I think it's more than that.
It's 10 plus or 12 or something.
Not sure.
But if it was like Australia and America, that's so far.
That's so far.
And then
yeah.
I have an auntie. I feel bad for my cousins if they listen. Hopefully they don't listen. But
cousins.
I have one auntie in Sydney, like, and then all my other relatives are in Hong Kong, but she has three kids and they're all in Hong Kong. So it's like, it's really hard. Like I feel for her when, I don't know, it's just like, oh, you know, they're all over there. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how she feels, obviously, but
maybe she loves it.
Yeah. Maybe she loves it.
Like even yesterday I was chatting with my friend and she was saying how like, so I don't know if this is off topic, but it takes a village to raise a child. Like, you know how there's that saying, but she was saying how like back in the day, like humans always raised children in a village.
Mm.
It's just now that people are raising kids on their own.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know this sounds a bit off topic, but like even like with the parents thing, like I just feel like everyone's just going everywhere now.
Yeah.
And that sense of like everyone just physically being there together and doing shit together and building a community, like a lot of that's lost. And I don't know.
I totally agree. I think the whole traditional family model is not that enticing or put on a pedestal as back in the day, because people can take care of themselves or they can travel, or you know, you get married later, people might not have kids, we can freeze eggs. Like it's just I'm going on a tangent as well, but it's just a bit lost. It's like
it's just bloody confusing.
Like, yeah,
everything's everywhere.
Yeah,
I don't even know anymore, you know.
Yeah, but yeah. I think when we're little, I don't know about you, but like grandparents would stay with you, or I feel like my parents, when they were growing up, they talk about how they lived in really close quarters with their families. So it was always very close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I grew up with my grandparents.
Yeah.
I didn't have many cousins, but I had lots of family friends.
Mm-hmm.
And we all lived in the same area and we met up every week and did stuff together, and it was all very enmeshed.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know. I feel like people are more like they just keep to themselves a little bit more now. Yeah.
you don't really know, or I don't really know who my neighbors are. Or
so you know what? Like, I've recently moved, and our neighbors, Joe, it's just been so, like, he's just been so friendly and so nice. And
that's cool.
We had a blackout, and I was by myself, and I knocked on his door, and I was like, "Do you have a lighter? Because I can't find a lighter to light these candles." And he goes and got me like matches or whatever. And then he's like, "Yeah, take this too, like a torch."
Yeah.
And it was just like, "Oh, thank you so much." And just like,
thanks, Joe.
Having like those like meet, like little conversations with your neighbor. I don't know. It was just so heartwarming to me.
Yeah.
And I feel like, I don't know, I think maybe I really missed that, like, sense of community.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's probably why we even did this podcast in the first place.
Because we're, right? we're craving that connection.
Connection. And yeah, I was telling
so true Ryan today. So true.
Our main value was like connection and community, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I don't know if we're connecting with our audience.
Have we connected?
But one thing I know for sure is I definitely – I'm really going off topic now, but I've created a connection with you. Don't you feel like
we're our own community?
We are connected
in here. Just me and you. Yeah, yeah,
Which is pretty cool.
And we live really close, so that's another
thing.
Don't
you reckon that helps a lot?
That helps a lot. It helps to have friends nearby.
I don't think I can live in the middle of Whoop Whoop anymore.
Let's get nourished.
Okay, so today I made a soup and it's called yukgaejang. Mm. It was really easy.
What's in it?
It was easy to make it. So there's beef brisket.
Yum.
Korean radish, mu, bean sprouts, brown like sort of mountain herb. I don't know what to call it. But it's called kosari. And it's got garlic, ginger, and fish sauce, soy sauce, and red chili flakes.
Do you need to use any of the pastes? No.
No paste.
Oh, no paste.
So I made the broth.
The radish looks so good.
The radish is like really soft. I made the broth with the brisket and the radish. I boiled that first. And then I just added all the ingredients. Mm. You mix all the ingredients with the chili paste, fish sauce, like you kind of like make a little.
Wow, this is so good.
Is it good?
It's so tasty.
You got to have it with rice and kimchi. That's how I had it before. Have you heard of this machine called a Thermomix?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You were telling me about it. And it's also like a more pro thing they use that in the kitchen.
Mm-mm. Yeah, so I kind of use the Thermomix for boiling the radish and the meat because I just put on a timer.
It gets hot, hey.
Mm.
Okay.
So I just put on a timer and then I went out, like, did shopping and stuff and then came back.
And it was right.
And then the radish was, like, falling apart.
Wow.
And then I used the Thermomix to shred up the beef.
Ah.
And mix all the sauces together and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's good. I rate it.
Did you just use the whole Thermomix to make the whole soup?
No.
Or you used it to mix stuff?
I just sort of like transfer it, like use it and then transfer it into a pot.
Ah, yeah. Okay.
But I think I love any machine, like an electric steamer or a multi-cooker or any machine or like a rice cooker where you can put it on the heat and then you can walk away and forget about it.
Mm.
I love anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, thanks, guys, for tuning in to another episode. Hope you found this one to be interesting and we gave you a little bit of company wherever you are, in your car or on a walk or I don't know.
Cleaning.
Cleaning. Yeah. thanks for tuning in and we'll see you in the next one.
Bye. Take care. Bye-bye.